بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the Quran in many places, but two places in which he referred to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a means of guidance. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is a book in which there is no doubt, and this is a guidance for the people of taqwa. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Quran هدى للناس. He called it the guidance for all of mankind. So there's two kinds of guidance. One is the general guidance for all of mankind, and the second one is specific and special guidance for people of taqwa. Who is a person of taqwa? A person of taqwa is somebody who is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he or she loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love anyone and anything else. So this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces in them the desire to please Allah jalla jalaluhu, and therefore they focus on whatever pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they stay away from whatever displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Quran is. Now, why am I saying this to you? Because the Quran also has information. The Quran has all kinds of information. It has scientific information. It has historical information. It has information about laws and so on and so forth. But it is not a book of information. It's a book of guidance. Now, what's the difference and why am I saying this? Let me give you an example. Take a map. So here is a map which is in your hand. And this map is very detailed, very beautiful, very beautifully drawn. It has topographical details. It has all kinds of details. And imagine that you're sitting here holding this map. Now, if I ask you the question and say, "What is this map for? What are you going to do with this map?" What will you tell me? You will tell me, I am holding this map because this map shows me the way to my destination. I want to go to such and such a place, and this is my map which is taking me to that place. I remember in this country, in America, many years ago, before GPS systems became common and available, when we went anywhere, we used to take maps. And we would take the map, we would mark out the route on the map, and then we would follow this route to take us to our destination. So think about those days. And if you are too young, you didn't know those days, doesn't matter. You can imagine this. So here is a map. You're looking at the map. So if I ask you, why do you have the map in your hand? You will say, because I want to get to this destination, and this map shows me the way. Then what do? Then you start walking, you start driving, you start doing whatever means of transportation or locomotion you have, and you continue. And then what do? Periodically, you refer back to the map to track your progress. Am I going in the right direction? Have I taken a wrong turn somewhere? Have I taken all the right, have I followed all the signs? And so on and so forth. So you are tracking your progress on the map until you reach your destination, isn't it? This is what we do with the map. We read the map. We ensure we are on the right track. Then we start moving, and then we track our progress along the way. As we walk, we track our progress to see that we are going in the right direction. Now, your map also may have speeds on it to say, this is how long it takes from, for example, rally driving. If you're driving in a rally, a car, then there are also speeds. You need to get from point A to point B in a certain time. So if you overspeed, then that's a fault. And if you are driving too slow, that's also a fault. So there is a time frame to get from point A to point B. So this might be in your map. Now, what do you say to somebody who is sitting with a map, and every morning he opens the map, he looks at the map very carefully, very respectfully, and then after staring at it for some time, the person then shuts the map and puts it away? Now, what do you say to that person? You would say to that person, well, this is very strange, because you're obviously not benefiting from this map. The map is a book of guidance. It is supposed to take you to some place, And if you really want to benefit from the map, you must do these two things, which is you must start walking along the route that the map is showing you, and you need to track your progress as you go forward. Now, if you do not do these two things, if you do not walk, if you do not move, and you just sit there holding the map cannot help you. Now, that's precisely the situation with the Quran al-Kareem. The Kitab of Allah is a map. It's a map which is showing us the way to our destination, which is Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. But the way to get there is by doing the same two things, which is to follow the map, meaning start walking, start doing, in this case, start doing what the Quran is telling us to do. So start walking and monitor progress. See how I am doing. And that also you know from the map. Now, if we don't do that, but we just sit and read the Quran from morning till night, and but we don't follow the Quran. Maybe we have lots of discussions on it and debates on it, and you read this translation and that translation, and you say, this is what so-and-so said, and that's what so-and-so said, and this is the meaning of the word, and you get involved in all kinds of detailed debates and discussions on the grammar and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you are not following the Quran. You're not doing, following the Quran. Meaning what? You're not following the map. It will not benefit you. Just to give you a simple example. For example, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person who reads the Quran, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give him 10 hasanat for every letter of the Quran. And he said, Alif, La, Mim is not one letter. Alif is one letter. Lam is one letter. Mim is one letter. So, Alif, Lam, Mim, if somebody is reading Alif, Lam, Mim, he has got 30 hasanat, alhamdulillah. Right? Now, take the analogy of the map. The Quran came for us to follow. So, here, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran prohibited Al-Khamru wal-Maisiru wal-Ansabu wal-Azlamu rijusum min namali shaitani fajtanibu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that alcohol or intoxicants of any kind, maisir, which is gambling, and all sorts of fortune telling and divining arrows and so on, are prohibited. They are haram. They are the worst things from the worst things of shaitan, from the filth of shaitan. Fajtanibu, do not even go near. So now here is a person who is reading this ayat. If you count the number of letters, it is so many letters multiplied by 10, that is the number of hasanat this person got. Alhamdulillah. Then what does the person do? Then this person shuts the Quran and he goes to the race course, or he goes to his club, and in the club he is playing cards for money, or in the race course he is betting on horses or dogs. Right? So he is gambling. Or he goes to MGM, or he goes to Las Vegas, he is playing a slot machine, or he is playing, he is at the roulette table, and he is putting money there, and in his hand is a glass of champagne, or a glass of whiskey, or a glass of brandy, or gin, or whatever, right? So what do you say to this person? And if somebody is arguing with you and saying, oh, but you see, he read the Quran and he got so many hasanat, the point is, he may have got the hasanat, but his actions are directly opposed to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. So they have cancelled out all of his hasanat. Because to deliberately, knowingly do something which is haram is kufr. So the person is reading the Quran and then he's committing kufr. A person is reading Quran about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wahdaniyat, about his uniqueness. He is reading Quran where Allah said, do not commit shirk. Allah will forgive all sins except shirk. And then the person goes to a mausoleum, he goes to a dargah, he goes to a maqam, he goes to a mazar, and he goes to somebody's grave, and there he commits shirk. He is asking help from that person who is dead, or he is walking around that thing like he is making tawaf, or he is making sujood to the person who is dead. What good is his reading of that ayah going to do to him when he is doing something which is the opposite of that? Similarly, a person is reading the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah prohibiting interest-based dealings, and then the person is lending money on interest, or he is borrowing money on interest. What does it tell you? this person has written his name in the list of enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he was reading the ayat warning about that and prohibiting that. My brothers and sisters, the Quran is a book of guidance. It's a map, and like all maps, it will only help that one who follows that map, meaning who picks up that map, who reads the map, and then he walks along the route, the route that is shown on the map, and he or she monitors their progress along to ensure that they are going in the right direction at the right speed. If you are not doing that, if I am not doing that, then believe me, you can look at that map, you can stare at it all day, it is not going to help you. And the same thing happens with the Quran. The Quran is something to be applied in our lives and to be lived by. It is not something to be just looked at and admired or analyzed or debated about. That's not the purpose of the Kalam, and that is not why it came. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live by the Quran and to follow this Quran in a way which pleases Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, so that we will get to our final destination, which inshallah is Jannatul Firdaus. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin.